straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center in El Cajon. Today, my very special guest is Ben Colosio. Ben is the president of the Chaldean American Chamber of Commerce, and he's here today to talk about the concerns of Iraqi Chaldean Americans in the upcoming presidential election. Ben, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
For listeners who may not be familiar, can you tell us just who the Chaldeans are?
Chaldeans are a group from northern Iraq, made up of Christian Iraqis who migrated here in the United States in the mid-century, let's say 1950s or so. The influx of them migrated in 1990, and now we have 68,000 Chaldeans and Assyrians in San Diego.
Yeah. Quite a large population here. So as we look at this presidential election, obviously this has got to be of great concern to the Chaldean population, not only from an international standpoint in terms of what's happening in the Middle East, but also the situation regarding how refugees will be treated, as well as issues that would affect small businesses. Many of the Chaldeans are very prosperous small business owners here. And the domestic issues that certainly are on the agenda, jobs and so forth. So let's start with the international issues. What are the opinions that you are hearing from the Chaldeans? I don't know if there's a consensus, if there's a variety of opinions, in terms of from a foreign policy standpoint, what are the concerns that they want to hear addressed by whoever the next president will be?
The majority consensus between the Chaldean and Assyrian community is that they want intervention and they want to create peace and a piece of land that the Assyrians and Chaldeans in Iraq and in Syria can call home and be safe. Mm-hmm. So in looking at that, they're looking at a candidate who has a tough rhetoric, who says things like, you know, we're going to bomb the crap out of ISIS and we're going to go in there and neutralize the situation. So that's the overall consensus. But I fear that that's a problem, if they're going to vote solely based on what the candidate's, international outlook is. Mm-hmm. So for instance, that will completely eclipse really important issues such as, the unemployment rate, healthcare, infrastructure here within America.
Is it not also a concern that some of the candidates who are talking the toughest about bombing the Middle East into oblivion over there, bombing ISIS, are also some of the same candidates who have wanted to take a very hard line against immigration, whether that's Mexicans, whether that's Muslims from the Middle East? Is there a concern that that could also, electing someone like that could also shut down immigration of refugees who are Chaldean, who are trying to flee ISIS in the Middle East and come to America?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has, but we shouldn't be ignorant and say that there isn't a mechanism in place to figure out who is a Christian and who is a Muslim and who is a Jew and who is an atheist and who is that. We definitely have these in place. These countries where they come from, they collect data, the same sort of data on a very, very large scale. They used to do that during Saddam Hussein's time. So I can only imagine what they can do now. But, the rhetoric from these candidates who have a strong stances on immigration, leaving Mexico aside, because I think talking about the immigration issue on the border between California or Mexico or something is a non-starter. Mm-hmm. I think that it's ridiculous to think that you can deport X amount of millions of Hispanics.
Yeah, today even Duncan Hunter, who actually has endorsed Donald Trump, came out and said that Trump's talk about deporting 11 million Americans is absolutely unrealistic and can't be done.
Yeah, so let's not even waste any time giving that airtime. But to talk about the real issue about immigration as it pertains to the Middle Eastern crisis, mm-hmm. that is a real issue. And I don't know, and so clearly I'm not a Donald Trump supporter, but I don't know how wrong he is when he says we have to assess the situation of Muslim refugees coming through the border, because you can't just overlook things, some of the statistics that have, you know, 70 or 80% of the refugees coming in are 14 to 35 year old males. You can't overlook some of these things. I mean,
I think he's tapped into a real concern people have, understandably somewhat, yeah. about the potential for ISIS to infiltrate, you know, among the refugees, for us to get more folks coming here who want to do what the San Bernardino bombers
for
did,
sure.
For
I
example.
Mean,
so the question is, how do we as Americans vet and weed that out? Do we keep everybody out? Constitutionally, I don't think you could keep out people of any just one religion, even if one wanted to do that. It's been argued that it's not constitutional.
But even if it's constitutional or not, as somebody who upholds a constitution, you have to understand that this document was written when ISIS wasn't in existence.
True.
So now that it is, we have to reevaluate for our safety who comes in and who doesn't come in. Now, we're clearly sympathetic to the cause. We're very humanitarian. You don't have to be Christian to be humanitarian. You can be any, you don't have to have any religion to do that. But you have to put political correctness aside and say, if there's a chance that you're going to get an ISIS member or Al-Shabaab member or one of these Nusra Front members or Al-Qaeda member getting snuck in through the refugees, within the refugees, which is something that's not only possible, but plausible. Mm-hmm. You have to reassess this whole situation. So I don't know if we need to create these sort of detention facilities where you can detain the refugees coming in, vet them properly, contact whatever country they came in, make sure that somebody else knows them. I mean, the process has to be so rigorous that you have to make sure that if one of these refugees has a cousin who fights for ISIS, I'm sorry, they're not going to be able to come in. It's just, there's such a fine line between being an Islamist and a jihadist, right? So we have to address that and not talking political correctness. Unfortunately, some of these candidates on the GOP side, they're right, but for the wrong reasons. You know, I mean, take somebody like Ted Cruz, who you look at him and he can't wait for the rapture. some of the things he says are right, but again, they're for the wrong reasons. It's not something any intellectual or a secular person would suggest based on the evidence he's putting forward. They would suggest it based on pragmatic reasons.
It's kind of like Trump with his racism. You know, one worries when you see him not wanting to disavow a white supremacist KKK leader and retweeting things like a white supremacist, you know, tweet of Bernie Sanders in a gas chamber or something like that, that while he may have some legitimate concerns about certain immigrants, at the same time, there seems to be this rather overt racist following that he has. Is that something that is of concern?
Well, I think that the Chaldean and Assyrian communities, more so I think with the Chaldean community, I think they oversee that part, because I think they include themselves into that white Caucasian category.
Interesting.
So they're playing
not
that.
Worried about him, huh?
Yeah, they're not worried about the whole, he's not talking about me. That's the kind of attitude that they have. But I think that all gets really eclipsed by the fact that Chaldeans are business people and Trump obviously is a business person. So there's great appeal that this successful billionaire has on the Chaldean community.
Some of those business people, yeah.
I mean, a lot of these business people, so.
Before we move on to domestic, on the international side, you've talked about a lot of Chaldeans obviously having support for bombing ISIS in the hope perhaps of making their homeland safe or avenging what's happened to the families. We should note that there's been what many are calling a Christian genocide going on over there. Certainly, you know, many, many murders and brutal actions by ISIS against Christians as well as even people of some other faiths.
Right, Yazidis and some of the Kurds and then Shiite Arabs. So it's not just a Christian genocide.
Right. I know in the past I've heard you talk at one point about wishing that instead of just trying to evacuate everybody out of there, make everybody a refugee, that the world could make places like
create a
province within Iraq that could be a safe haven for Christians once again or other minorities. Do you believe that's still possible? Is that, and are any of the candidates talking at all about that?
No, it's very possible to do something like that. It would require a lot of money and it would require a lot of support and teamwork from countries like France, from Russia and Germany and the United States. The problem is that these countries don't work with each other unless they very much have to, unless it's in the best interest of themselves. This country, you know, we're speaking about America too. So what's in it for them is the question, right? To create a different province in Iraq that houses Chaldeans, Assyrians, Yazidis, Shabaks, and these other Sabis and Mandai and all these other people. What's in it for them? Really nothing. Right now, they can go test out some bombs that some military contractor created or some planes and test all that out on ISIS, and then they get contracts for them. So the Chaldean community is looking at the international issues, and I think it's it's trumping the domestic issues. Not to use that, you know, not to use the word Trump out of context, but
if you could ask one question, if you were a moderator on the next debate, whether it's Democratic or Republican or both of them, what question would you want to ask these guys, or in Mrs. Clinton's case, this gal?
Well, I think that, okay, so for Bernie Sanders, I really would like to have more of I like a lot of the domestic policies that he has. Clearly on the educational level, we like a lot of what he says. And I think the Chaldean community needs to look at that, because the next generation growing up, they're not liquor store owners. They're not gas station owners. They're intellectuals who are going to school. They're coming out of school with tremendous amounts of debt. My sister is a doctor and she has, I think, $350,000 in debt.
He's called free community colleges for everyone.
So I'd like to ask, and I'd like to, for him to break it down. I know that he's not previewed to a lot of the information as a sitting president would, so he can't tell you exactly where he would allocate certain funds. But I want it broken down a little bit more than that. And I'd like to have the conversation about what he's going to do in the Middle East to be broken down into more detail. With Hillary Clinton, I want to ask the questions because I think it's important to the Chaldean community. While she says that she fights for the working class small business, there's really nothing that I can see in her history that points us to that direction. Everything that she does is more on a bigger scale, more on the one percenter scale.
She certainly has taken a lot of money.
She's taken a lot of money. Yeah. This is important to us. Right. From Wall Street and other big corporations, she was in favor of the bailout, like we saw in the last debate. And this is very important. I mean, you look at these small businesses that Chaldeans run, and when they go under, when they're struggling, there's nobody there to bail them out.
Right.
So that was an important thing. I'm going to not bring up Marco Rubio, because I probably think that in the next 2 weeks, he's going to be out. Not too many Chaldeans follow him anyway.
You've mentioned Kasich as well. We haven't mentioned
We're going to not mention Kasich as well, because I don't know how much he's going to be involved.
Yeah, it looks like it's boiling down to Ted Cruz and
Chaldeans
Trump.
And Chaldeans like Ted Cruz as well. I think the split is there. I think because they vote biblically, which is, to me, I mean, very elementary. I think it's immature to do.
But because he's a social conservative on issues like abortion, for instance.
Right. So they're gonna completely negate everything else that he's talking about. And just because he's gonna say, well, I think marriage should be between a man and a woman. And they're gonna just be like, you know what, that's my guy. But you talk about he's gonna be detrimental to the stem cell research programs that we have, a lot of the healthcare systems that are put in place. So,
and those healthcare systems certainly would be important for
definitely
not only business owners, but certainly
employees and employers. It's for everybody,
right? As well as people who don't have a job. Maybe they're a new refugee over here, just getting a leg up.
And there are so many of these new refugees. I spoke to a few of them today at the chamber office, where I asked them, "Can you name me some of the candidates running?" And their response was, "No, I can't. And why do I care? Because I don't have my citizenship." Well, that answer is so wrong on many levels. Because
what percentage of those 65,000 that we have living in San Diego that are Chaldeans have their citizenship been? Do you know?
Yeah, I think it's about 65% the last time we checked.
So that's actually a lot.
No, it's a lot. But then you have to include obviously 18 and older and whatnot. But mm-hmm. even still, the refugees are constantly being poured in here.
Right.
So they have to know who's running. I understand that they can't vote, but that doesn't mean they can't campaign and they can't put up signs or canvas.
People are active in every other way.
Or they have to know who's going to be in charge of the country, because that affects them when it comes to their minimum wage, to their health care, to just their daily life. So I understand that they can't vote, but they very much need to get themselves involved, because whoever ends up being the president affects their life greatly.
There's, of course, a couple of wild cards in the race here. It's looking like on the Republican side, they may very well have a brokered convention if neither Trump nor Cruz is able to secure the majority of votes. And there's been talk of them maybe even coming up with a wild card, putting forth Mitt Romney at the convention or someone. Do we know anything about his positions on the issues that the Chaldeans care most about?
He's going to have a lot of the same stances as Ted Cruz has, even though one's evangelical and one's Mormon. But, I mean, look, Mitt Romney, he's been a failed candidate a couple times before. I don't know how much better he can do than Cruz would do. But, I mean, if I had to choose between Mitt Romney, Ted Cruz, or Donald Trump, I would pick Donald Trump.
Interesting. Very interesting.
And it would be for different reasons than most people would think just listening to it. But, I mean, I wouldn't say, oh, because of his strong business background or anything like that. No, I would say that personally, I think that he can differentiate between church and state. He's not a stupid person. He might say some things that most people would find not to be PC enough, or they might sound immature or moronic. I'm not a Trump supporter by any means, but he's not, definitely not a stupid person. But
like the less offensive of the three, in your opinion.
You look at the one who's not going to take their marching orders from a pastor, a priest, or a rabbi. I think he's going to be the guy that's not going to do that.
Yeah, interesting. Or a political party for that.
Of course. I mean, you look at the GOP is very methodical and strategic in who they pick and how they groom them, and it's almost like a recycling center with their candidates.
Well, it's been, an interesting thing about this election, really on both sides, has been the rise of candidates that did not have the support of the political parties. On the Democratic side, we've certainly seen Bernie Sanders, who is a registered independent, the only registered independent in Congress who is running as a Democrat, of course, in the presidential race.
Well, I think he understands that he has to have a party in order to have a chance. But then he's also a social Democrat. He's not... he's a social Democrat, so he's not a cookie cutter Democrat. It's funny too, because a lot of the Chaldeans, I see these Facebook posts all the time.
Yeah.
And they'll say something like, well, he's a socialist. So, America's going to be the next Nazi Germany, because the Nazis were national socialists. And I'm always tempted to send them a WikiLinks, definition definition of what a democratic socialist is and a national socialist.
They don't understand the difference.
No, and I'm not about to get into the debates with people that have all the time in the world to be on Facebook. But you look at some of the things that concerns with the Chaldean community, currently, and they're completely, they're appalled by the actions of the Obama administration when it comes to foreign policy issue.
Yeah, tell us about that. What do they think the biggest mistakes are that Obama has made that they would hope that perhaps a future president would handle differently?
Well, as myself, I'm a staunch Obama supporter. And let me tell you what I think the mistake that Obama is making right now. I think the biggest mistake he's making is not addressing the issue when it comes to attacks happening domestically and internationally, as calling them, straying away from saying that this is a Muslim issue, that these attackers are Muslim. They never use that. They'll say things like, this doesn't represent Islam and it doesn't represent the Muslim beliefs. Well, I think that's completely wrong. We can't
PC, in other words.
Yeah, no, he has to say that. And you can't fix a problem without addressing the problem. So using that and just to be PC and just to appease a majority of the Muslim community, I understand why he's doing it, but it really doesn't help us. So the Chaldean community capitalizes on that, especially them being staunch Catholic or Christian, whichever church they come from, whether that's Eastern Rite or the ancient church, they look at that and say, automatically they'll say that he's obviously taking the sides of the Muslims. And here we are.
Just like we haven't really heard him use the term Christian genocide yet. I know he's been asked to.
And I'm not really looking for that. Because there's a Yazidi genocide as well that has been going on. There's other minority groups that have been killed. Obviously, ISIS has killed more Shiite Arabs than anybody else. But I'm not so concerned that he uses the word Christian genocide that I am him using that it is a Muslim problem, and that moderate Muslims have to stand up and reform and speak out. And yet we see them every now and again, but it's nowhere near the number of Muslims quiet about it.
Yeah.
So they use that opportunity to capitalize, to speak up, to speak out against Obama. They never say Barack Obama without saying Barack Hussein Obama. Mm-hmm. And coming from the Middle East, that Hussein insert is made to be a below the belt, hey, this guy is Muslim.
Yeah, everyone thinks of Saddam Hussein. What are some of the other domestic issues that are of biggest concern for the Chaldeans, and to what degree do these foremost prominent candidates have stances that address those issues, or are they just not being addressed?
I think on the GOP side, they're being addressed more so than on the Democratic side. Because, in general, Chaldeans don't vote. Okay, I'm painting this with a broad brush, but when I say in general they don't vote, I don't mean I'm sure I'm going to get some really nasty Facebook message saying, what do you mean I don't vote and I've been voting? Well, I'm not talking about you then. I'm talking about maybe
statistically.
And I'm comfortable to bring that number up to a high 80 percentile. I was a candidate before, I know. Mm-hmm. So I think that they're talking about the international Middle Eastern conflicts that are happening, that's really hitting home with a lot of the older generation mm-hmm. Chaldeans.
So you're saying the Republicans are doing a better job
reaching out to the older generation.
So you have on the international.
Right. So you have like the Chaldean community in general who doesn't really vote. And then of the ones that vote, they're going to be older. So you have the younger, we have the same issues that in the general white Americans have, that the young people don't vote. Yeah. So we have it more so in the Chaldean community. And the issues that should have their undivided attention, such as healthcare, such as minimum wage, such as education, things that the Democratic side is talking about, they're not really paying attention to. And I think that's, we need to do a better job educating them. We try as best we can at the Chaldean Chamber, but when the topic isn't sexy, quote unquote, mm-hmm. it's hard for them to engage.
Yeah. My next question was going to be, what would it take, do you think, to motivate more Chaldeans to vote? Is it they just don't feel like there's a candidate that's addressing their issues? Is it they don't think their vote will matter? Why aren't they voting? The ones who are citizens,
and it all depends on how long they've been a citizen, how long they've been in America. You take a person who's been in America for, let's say, 10 years, and of no fault of their own, but when looking at somebody like Ben Carson, who they liked because the way he speaks was religious, they'll first tell you, well, you know that black guy up there, rather than somebody, a Chaldean who's been in America for 20, 30, 40 years. When they tell you about somebody like Ben Carson, whether he's black or not is way, way further down the conversation. So, and this is a no fault of their own. This is just the byproduct of their upbringing. You know, the ethnocentric attitude comes with being in the Middle East.
Yeah.
So I think it's obviously it's an evolution. So in 10 years from now, I might come here and say that, 50% of Chaldeans and Assyrians are voting. So unfortunately, it's not the case now. I don't have the magic wand to wave and say, you know, you guys got to get up there and vote. But I would presume that education would be the motivational driver for these people. And the only candidate really talking about making it affordable is going to be Bernie Sanders. Hillary Clinton touches on that too. Mm-hmm. Nobody from the GOP side.
What is motivating the young people?
Instagram.
Okay.
So
Instagram. So they're getting the news on Instagram.
I mean, yeah. I mean, so, and also you have to remember, we lost somebody. A lot of Chaldeans used to, the ones that do vote, you know, the 20% that do vote, yeah. they used to get their news from somebody like Jon Stewart. They've now, I don't know how much Trevor Noah has been affecting their scruples, but Bill Maher is some, I mean, obviously I'm naming a lot of the yeah. Democrats side, but you know what? I like Megyn Kelly too on Fox. I think she's
been tough. Aggressive and going
She's
after.
Aggressive. She'll ask the appropriate questions. I think she's very smart. And so
she tangled with Trump. Then.
She tangles with a lot of people. Yeah. Chris Wallace, I think, is a good interviewer. He's pretty strong.
Recently started a Chaldean TV network. Tell us about what motivated that. So
the Chamber, for those that don't know, also owns the Miss Middle East beauty pageant. And we also started, not a Chaldean network, but a Middle Eastern network called MEGA, Middle Eastern Global Alliance. Although we own it, it's completely independently run. So mm-hmm. I don't, you know,
it's
for those
not
listening.
Partisan.
It's definitely not partisan. No. Well, it's anti-stupid. So we're
that's okay. So are we?
Yeah. So it's anti-stupid, and so I chose to make it Middle Eastern because we want to engulf and include everybody in there. I mean,
so it has not just Chaldean viewpoints, but other views of other people from the Middle East as well.
Definitely, it's going to have. It's a secular channel. It's going to have pragmatic questions, pragmatic reasoning, logical ways of looking at things. So we recently covered the Grossmont Union High School District. The issues that were happening there with.
Yeah, we just did interviews this morning. They'll be airing, you know, soon on that.
Yeah. So those issues they're not just Chaldean issues, although that, because we live in San Diego County, Chaldeans coming from the Middle East have the largest minority coming from the Middle East. So everybody refers to people from the Middle East as Chaldeans over here. But, it's funny. So, you know, when we were at the meeting, Priscilla Schreiber asked the demographer, is Chaldean a protected language class? And he said that it wasn't. And I think that's what I took away from the meeting as being the most important thing. I want to work with some of these state assembly representatives.
We're talking, for those that aren't familiar here, about the controversial redistricting plan that the Grossmont Union High School District came up with.
Right. I should have set that up. Yeah.
Okay. But at any rate, one of the concerns raised was that in drawing up trustee districts for people to vote in, that they seem to have divided up the large Chaldean voting bloc into about three different districts with the plan that they approved.
Correct. So then I went in there with that mindset because we had so many parents and concerned citizens calling the chamber office. I went in there and with the mindset of, hey, what are you guys doing? stop splitting our vote. And then it dawned on me that, well, Chaldean wasn't a protected minority language class. And that was the real issue. That's, I think, what we need to tackle first. So
they may be violating the spirit of the law, but perhaps not the letter of the law, it would appear.
Yeah. So philosophically, I guess what they're doing doesn't make any sense.
Are the Chaldeans doing anything about that? Are they going to try to get that law in California maybe changed to include Chaldeans or Middle Easterners in general as a protected class?
So the Chaldean Chamber is, you know, the only organization right now that's representing not just Chaldeans, but other Middle Easterners. We're the only professional organization for the Middle Eastern community in the county.
Should Arabic speakers be counted among those
definitely
language minorities?
We definitely have a lot of Arabic representatives on our board, and we want to fight for those. So the way I was thinking about this, and we take a school like El Cajon Valley High School, for instance, mm-hmm. which has a plethora of Middle Eastern refugees. You take a 14-year-old Middle Eastern refugee, and I'm going to use this term very loosely here, a white, somebody who's white, who grew up here, American, and they're taking their standardized testing. Well, it's more unfair for the white person taking that test that they have to be graded as a school with a refugee coming in, you know, when they do their testing, because they don't have a class and because the refugees are still categorized as white, to bring down that test score. Mm-hmm. I mean, they really have nothing in common, the 14-year-old refugee and the American kid that grew up here, besides breathing. I think that it's unfair to put those two together. So it's
comparing apples and oranges.
Right. Stuff. What I'm getting at is it's important to create a different class. I think it's going to have a dual benefit.
So this gets to the importance of elections in general. We've been talking primarily about presidential, but obviously all the way down to school board, it can be really important for people in the Chaldean community, as in all communities, to understand their rights, educate themselves on the issues and the candidates, and get out to vote.
Yeah, I mean, we can get a candidate, and the Chaldean Chamber can fund a candidate. I think we have something like $100,000 in our budget that we can spend on anything that we want, but it has to make sense. For instance, I come from the school of understanding where we're not going to support a Chaldean candidate just because they're Chaldean. That doesn't make any sense.
It could be some other candidate who's supportive on Chaldean issues.
Correct. I mean, yeah, it definitely could be that. And more of the times it is that, and we have no problem doing that. So I don't want the listeners to say that, you know, the Chaldean Chamber is only pushing pro-Chaldean agenda. I think that's immature. I think that's, you know, I think it's elementary to think that way. But the issue of the Chaldean voting, the Chaldean language not being protected and they're not being classified, I think that's a fair battle to take on. Mm-hmm. And we'll be more than willing to do that. We have a team of lawyers we can use at our disposal anytime.
Very, very interesting. I'm going to let you have the final word today, Ben, but what would you say to those people, Chaldeans and others, who may be sitting at home just not planning to vote, or maybe not knowing where they can get information about the candidates? What would you say to the Chaldeans who are eligible to vote in terms of where can they go to get more unbiased information about just who these candidates are, what they stand for, and be able to make an informed decision when they go into the ballot box?
Well, for those who are thinking that they're going to stay home, I think that's just a complete waste of your time. And it just goes against everything that this wonderful country has been built on. So you have to get out there and vote. And if you aren't eligible to vote, we went over some things that should be of great concern to you. You can always get familiarized with the candidates, because whoever wins is going to affect you, whether you're a citizen or not. Mm-hmm. If you're not a citizen, you're still going to pay your taxes. You're still going to have wages. You're still going to have healthcare or not. So these all affect you. Where they can get information about the candidates, we have a political committee within the chamber that is unbiased. Mm-hmm. But everybody has a bias. I mean, to say that there's nobody's unbiased, everybody has a little bit of a bias, whether they care deeply about outer space exploration or the environment or women's rights.
Right.
So everybody has that. We're very conscious of that. But I want to urge them to not sit there and vote religiously. That's, I think, going to be the thing that's going to hurt them the most. Mm-hmm. You can be religious all day you want, 7 days a week. This has no issue. But
you might be voting against your own self-interest on a lot of other issues.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, you look at somebody like Dick Cheney, who changed his position on the LGBT community because his daughter was a lesbian. Mm-hmm. You look at the late Nancy Reagan, who changed her position on stem cell research when Ronald Reagan got Alzheimer's. Correct. You don't want to be that kind of voter. Well, you want to be educated.
America is a system of checks and balances. Mm-hmm. So even if, for example, let's say a liberal Democrat were to be elected as president, you still have two houses of Congress and a Supreme Court that can sort of check that. So, you know, currently, for example, both houses of Congress are in Republican control.
Hands.
If that
Correct.
Stays or even one house remains in Republican control, you're not going to have somebody running through, you know, radically leftist things or policies.
Yeah, so, yeah, and that's
very
important.
There are checks.
Yeah, there are checks and balances. They have to go through the bureaucracy of all the different mechanisms that were put in place responsibly so that you don't get a Hitler, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So they should be rest assured in the system. It's not a perfect system, but it's one of the greatest systems that we have in the world. So they should definitely not stay home. If they have any questions, I know our chamber does these meet your candidates nights. I know this is on a more of a local level,
but
it's very important because we do have congressmen and senators and county supervisors, and these are your next state senators and U.S. senators and eventually become governors and so on. So
let us
get
know
involved.
When those are coming up.
They're coming up.
We will definitely publicize that on our site too.
Sure.
For people who may want to come, and we'll come and try to cover some of those. I would end by saying to any of those that think your vote doesn't count, there's an awful lot of elections that have been decided on very close votes. We've had some locally. We had a couple school board ones out in East County, some of the smaller districts.
I mean, mine, I lost a city council in Elkhorn by less than half of 1%. So.
Yeah, it can happen. You know, President Kennedy years ago was elected by an average of one vote per precinct nationwide.
Yeah, so
one
this does happen.
One vote per precinct. We had a school board election, you know, Warner Springs, I think it was decided by one or two votes total last time. So.
Get out there and vote. As that's the message. I know it's not a sexy thing. It's been talked and you've heard the same punchline over and over, but it's very, very important. I think this election is probably one of the most important ones in our lifetime, given what's happening internationally, given what's happening in the economy, the different border issues we have. So please, I urge you, if you have any questions, they can call the chamber office. We can speak to you in English. Nahjuyakum Arabi, Kmahkan Surath. Yo hablo español también. We can do it in every language that they want. So
there you go. And if you're not yet registered to vote, if you are a citizen and you're not yet registered or you're not sure if you're registered,
we can help you.
Yeah, you can check with the chamber or you can go to the San Diego Registrar of Voters website.
Oh yeah, let me give them the phone number to our chamber office. 619-663-7710. Marie, our secretary, will answer and you can be transferred to me or whoever else you want to talk to.
Very good. What's the website for your chamber, Ben?
It's Chaldean. AmericanChamber.com. I know it's sort of long, and Chaldean is spelled Chaldean.
Very good. And your new news site that people can go to if they want to check out the videos that you've got now?
It's meganetwork.tv, but I'm not sure if it launched because it's only a week old. I think they can just find it on YouTube. It's Meganetwork, M-E-G-A, and we're on Facebook. We're everywhere. So
very good.
Good.
Well, I want to thank you very much for joining us today. Listeners, if you just tuned in, we've been speaking with Ben Colasso, the president of the Chaldean American Chamber of Commerce. Thank you so much for joining us on the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice.